Okay, wanna call the roll call?
Commissioner Niemer?
Present.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Here.
Commissioner Evans? Commissioner Weber? Chair Shepherd.
I'm here. And a pledge of allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Like, if you want to just summarize, you know,
I guess that, but I'm going to call the general for general public comment on the any public comment?
Yes, sir. I'm telling you right now, my name is Linda Sitter, and you are in violation of the Brown Act. Your resolution says that your meeting, your regular meeting, start at 2 o'clock. You're starting it at 1, purposely and intentionally, to chill the public speech. That is not okay. This is for closed session. It's not for open session. And so what you think by reconvening and saying the Pledge of Allegiance at 1 o'clock when the meetings are specifically held to the public at 2 o'clock is going to bypass, you're wrong, Mr. Rademacher. So I wish you would quit telling these people the wrong things. Now, I sent you a cease and desist letter, and I know you didn't read it because you don't read my emails. But you got 30 days to answer, and it's going to be answered appropriately, Mr. Rademacher, by your attorney, instead of you saying in open session that, oh, we didn't find any merit to your claims. Remember, you're on a federal lawsuit right now, and the supplemental jurisdiction for these Brown Act violations are going to be heard. And you still continue every meeting to chill the public speech and violate the laws just because you can, because nobody has spanked you yet. But it's coming. The car is going to crash. And I'm tired of doing this. I really am. There are other things to discuss besides the ignorance that this man puts on these board members. I mean, it is utterly stupid. And we can't. And then we got Ms. Marina collecting $75 an hour. I didn't know you guys approved that to sit in the Board of Supervisors meeting and defend Mike Rademacher. Are you kidding me? The whole county knows about Mike Rademacher. He speaks for himself. He gets caught lying all the time. So I'm sorry to say, yeah, one more minute, one more luxurious minute that he heard coming to the Board of Supervisors and said, well, Mike would like to be here, but he can't. No, he won't be there because he's embarrassed. Because he knows what he's doing is wrong. He knows that he has no credibility in the public eye. And you commissioners continue to allow this as a representation of the harbor. There are other people out there that can do a better job. I highly suggest you guys get your act together because these court dates are coming around. And that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Hearing none, seeing none, we're going to adjourn to closed session. And it's the same, the conference with real properties, mostly with Daniel Dahan, Sean McGraw, and Scott Lofton, and the and property negotiations with Dahan, Sean McGraw, and Scott Lofton. And conference with real property negotiators with Sean McGraw and Scott Lohan and Daniel Dahan. And conference with existing litigation, Fashion Blackness versus Crescent City Harbor District. That will go into closed session. So probably next week, midweek, we're going to have another meeting on this and wrap it up. So we're getting closer, and that's what's reported out of closed session. With that, we'll go into the regular sessions. And we're ready to roll call. Okay, so then it's just general public comment. Anything that's not on the agenda item. Sure.
right,
Step
hi.
up and state your name and.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kim Cisneros. I'm here because I'm hoping to do a 10K run through town that uses the beautiful Marina biking trail. So I'm looking for information about who to send my information deck to and who are the people who would help me in guiding me in paperwork.
I can help you.
Thank you.
This is the office.
Yes.
The number's 3617. But anyways, you can call or stop in the office and
All
and
right.
let Mike know your contact information and you guys can work together and sounds exciting.
It is
You
exciting, and you should definitely
gonna
do
hit the
it.
beach too?
Yeah, so the
Yeah, there's
proposed
a
route,
pond like beach.
Beachfront Park, down all the way through until Whalers Island, coming back down to Brother Jonathan and back, and that's 10K.
Oh, man, I'd love to see one in the harbor.
Well,
We're gonna see one. Okay, thank you
all
very
right, thank
much.
you.
She did say run,
Huh?
right? She did
Yeah.
say run.
You can
Well,
run too.
it's
Simon run.
My leg's a little bit weak.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Any more public comment? No. We're going to open it up with the consent calendar, and that's going to be approved the minutes of the January 28, 2026 regular meeting. Authorize the board chair to sign the MIRAD PIDP 2024 grant agreement. I think we voted last time, and it was the 2022 if I don't find Mike. And so now this one we're going to do the 2024. So you is there is there any public comment on that? If not, I'd entertain a motion. Or how does the board feel about the minutes? Oh, hey, Gerard, you got here quicker than I thought. Not cool. Welcome. Should I include that Gerhardt made it for the regular session?
Yeah, I'm gonna put that
Okay. Does anybody have any problem with the minutes? Okay. Move. So, and then have you read the signing of the 2024 grant agreement so we can vote on both those at the same time if I got a motion? I'll make the motion to approve the minutes of January 28, 2026 regular meeting and to authorize the board chair to sign the MIRAD PIDT 2024 grant agreement.
Second it.
And so with that, can we take a vote?
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Niebuhr?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans? Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
Commissioner Shepard?
Aye. Okay, grant update, including project elements of CalOES, Hazard Mitigation Grant, and other awarded grants. And that's Mike.
Afternoon, commissioners. Very pleased to be here. Mike Barr, Community System Solutions, with me today. Benita Jongo from our team. Benita has been working on our grants in Washington, and we just closed out that project and will be helping on the grants for the Harbor District. So this is her first trip to Crescent City and our first Harbor District meeting.
All right. Welcome.
Good. Yeah. We've watched on Zoom and read a lot of documents. So before you today is a grant update, and just wanted to kind of go through, start with congratulations on PIDP 2024. Signing that letter. So that's it. We Harbor District can now draw down funds for MARAD 2022, $7.3 million, and MARAD 2024, $8 million for seawall and Citizens Dock construction. So, got a lot to do on that particular one. And so, again, the final thing that's happening right this second on the construct on the pre-construction side is the permit application, the actual permit document application is being reviewed right this moment. It's been filled out, it's being reviewed by some of the agencies to see if they have comment, and then there's going to be an agency day. So Moffat and Nicola is going to host all the agencies on one Zoom call and kind of go through that application. Date hasn't been set. CEO Rademacher will be invited and participate. And then if the board, you know, puts together a committee or something like that, they can, you know, participate also in that discussion. And but because all the agencies have been part of NEPA and CEQA, we expect it to go very smooth because they've already given all of their comments that were incorporated into your design documents and your CEQA and your NEPA documents. So it could go pretty quick, pretty smooth. There is going to be a great deal done on these grants. And so we will have our goal for you is that we're going to have a project element review at your next meeting, but maybe we really think about taking a special session for 3 hours in a month and go through all of the things that are going to have to happen in the next 2 years to make this project happen. As an example, there are just the grant rules. These are not the grant rules. This is the list of all the rules with this thing. That's just the list of all the rules.
With little intent, 3 hours.
Yeah. 3 hours, and we just go through all of the highlights and just and walk through what
you would.
Yes, I will be here in person in a month.
That'd be an open session, though.
Be an open session. Yeah, but you might want to do it at a separate time rather than regular meeting, or you might want to do it during your regular meeting. You know, sort of up to you on how you kind of want to do that. I just shuffled my papers out of order. One of those days. Okay. Cal OES, any questions on those two grants? I think at this point.
Great.
So we have been using the Harbor Mitigation Grant Program to do all kinds of planning. That included the CEQA, NEPA. It's including the surveying. Surveying starts today. Surveyors are in town right now. Talk to them, walk them through what, you know, again, they've got a scope of work and they'll be on site today, probably on site tomorrow. Anchor Way, Starfish Way, the corners of the properties, et cetera. And put together both a points and elevations. And that'll be the comparison to what Coastal Commission's concerns about. Are the points, are the streets, are the properties where they say they are on the map? And if not, fix the map. If they are, that's perfect. Let's see if I've just got an update on another. Just want to see. No, this is a good spot for it right here. The fish fillet station. So fish fillet station, they were redoing their construction application. Coastal has made comments on it. It's back to the person to incorporate those comments. They're expecting next week to file it again. So they just got comments back. So
I understand it won't be done till August.
It could be done before that. It could be done before that. But so the construction team has been hired. So they're under contract, and they would be pouring the pads, pulling the utilities, hooking up the utilities. And one building is already here. Two buildings are in storage. The buildings have been paid for. So it could, and really, it's a pad for each building and then utilities to each building.
Really be nice to get that for the Albacar when they start coming in.
What kind of year is that?
Late July, August.
Okay. Start at that, but shoot for that, make sure. So in the hazard mitigation grant, it was a 1.3 on the contracts that have been let. There's about $400,000 still unallocated. Now that NEPA and CEQA for that project are done, you begin to think about what are some of those other key projects. We were unable to, or basically for some of the other projects that might need NEPA or CEQA, you can't run multiples at one time or else they become one. So we would have had to incorporate other areas into it and slow that project down. So if you wanted to think about the docs, we could, you could begin that CEQA process. HDOC. These docs or the dock off the boat yard or floating docks out here.
Log trail.
Yeah. Or docks on the other side. I mean, your guys' choice of what this priority is. Remember, it doesn't do construction, but it can do planning and environmental work. So there's still unallocated, still a year left on that grant, but you can also get a 2-year extension. So there's time, but I want to think about what those priorities
But
are.
you're kind of getting at is that with this whole rebuild of this and trying to do that all at once might be kind of.
No, I'm saying now that we've done all the work that needs to get done on that, you can move on to something else. As far as planning
Are you
and
kind of
money in
advising
CEQA.
us to get a year extension or?
I think it depends on what you're going to pick, but it could. I mean, it's going to be
I'm
very
just saying
simple to
there's
get.
going to be a lot going on.
It's going to be simple to get
And
an extension.
to complicate it with more going on, might be better to delay something like that through the following year, just because of the complication of it all.
Can you clarify? I've heard discussions and read about the recreational ramp being revamped. There's also a grant being applied for that. So we could use the 400,000 to do the CEQA for that now, and we get the grant and we could move forward because it's a hazard right now. It's a safety issue,
Yes,
right?
yes. But to do that construction, we're going to have to do at least some CEQA for that spot.
Can you estimate about how much it would take in funds for potentially the recreational ramp or this decommissioned commercial ramp or such?
For that, we did the corner, did a couple of projects, and did about the corner, maybe $80,000 to $150,000.
And you would want to do these individually. So we do the recreational ramp first, and then we move to a different project.
Or if it was a dock project and a boat ramp project, we could probably do those combined because it's a very small area. The issue was this area and then bringing in that area. Just thinking about what are the projects over there, made the list and did CEQA all at one time for 2 or 3 projects.
Okay.
That can be done because it's really all within, if you think about that, that's all really within the same footprint.
And we
The
can do
same
this
mountains are going to be disturbed, right?
and do the CEQA and NEPA now, and then maybe do the actual project later.
The actual project later.
How long do you have to do the project after you get the?
That DW Department of Waterways grant, when we apply for that, that's a 3 to 5 year
Oh.
construction project grant.
But once CEQA's completed, how long from that completion to starting the project do you have?
2 years without having to make a minor adjustment. Yeah.
So when would the board decide? Is this an open session decision? How do we come to this decision on which project to do?
If you just bring it on in the agenda as a make a decision, make some suggestions.
Can we please agendize that for the next meeting?
Mike, put it out.
Yep.
All
All right. The couple of the other contracts that were let under there was the structural design. That contract's been signed. Those folks are gonna be starting here. Pretty much immediately, they have somebody here in Crescent City doing another project, and they'll be part of that team that does this. Coastal Conservancy South Beach Restroom Grant. Mike and I had a call with the group that was awarded the bid on that bathroom. If we were to order it today, it would not be here till late August or September. In addition, one of the, and maybe both, I only know of one who gave me comments of the folks who are looking at the RV park, looked at that design, looked at that location, and said we would much have to rather have a much nicer facility right there, and that they could think about putting some money towards that with this grant money. So our suggestion is just wait a couple of weeks till this is ironed out and then decide we want to order it or we want to go a different direction on this
People
project.
might look at us not being able to see the coast as well. It might be a vision
No,
block.
there's it does not block any vision where it's at right now. It's just that it's a cinder block, kind of cement looking square building. If you were talking about a very upscale area along that strip, that doesn't really fit the theme of the other things there. So
I got you.
we could redesign to have a better theme there. So that's kind of the update on that. The California Jobs First Regional Investment Initiative was submitted. We had to jump through a bunch of hoops, which really was it had to become a statewide grant. Between the three grants, ourselves and True North wrote it was a $24 million application. The state divided it up into it was divided up into three applications. For the Crescent City Harbor District, there was a harbor modernization project, which was $1 million applied for the beneficial dredging reuse pilot and a new travel lift. The Ports of Plate, which is the seafood filet station, was applied for $276,000 for basically filet packaging. A cold storage that would host those fillets. And then a product marketing program for direct sales to schools, markets, and restaurants. So there's a program out of Southern California that's been really successful helping people sell more fillets. And so this would pay to bring that program to here, Humboldt and Mendocino. The other part of it was 750,000 for business plan and permitting for a pilot aquaculture facility. That would include looking at that, the inflow, outflow that exists for that, the abalone building, looking at the building, the site. It could be in that the money in there was included of an extension of docks for the Coast Guard dock in the pilot program that 2 years of the pilot program that's at Humboldt on their aquaculture. So that could be set up and done here. So we will not know on this for a while. So again, we made it through the we've made it through three rounds so far. There's two more rounds. We will see, but we'll keep you updated. The new Coastal Conservancy Citizens Dock Construction Grant. So we've got the planning grant. Now we're applying for the construction grant, which is basically additional dollars for this project. Because of moving from a 5.3 seismic, having to build a 5.3 seismic to 7.3 seismic costs dramatically increased. So working with the Coastal Conservancy, they've reviewed the just the staff, basically pre-app. They've asked some questions and now we're preparing the pre-app for that. But their process is you get a planning grant and then you move into And remember, they are incredibly loaded with money right now, thanks to the bond. So they've got twice as much money to give out over the next 3 years than they've ever had. So, which is great. The new MARAD 2026, we have been encouraged to apply for building the second dock as part of the. And so Mike and I have been talking with MARAD, and we are almost done with the application. The application is open period. But they've already announced that they are going to extend the open period and there's going to be new rules. It was due at the end of February, probably going to be due end of March, April, and we'll have to see what those new rules are. But the grant is 80, maybe 90% already written. So we've been working on that and we'll get that submitted. But MARAD's been very supportive. That,
With that extension and the changes, is that going to put complications into
We don't know
where the changes are?
we don't know what changes are. So remember, the administration right now is saying that they are port and harbor friendly.
Okay.
And so they've made more money available for small ports. So instead of an $8 million maximum threshold, it's $11,250,000. So we're applying for $11,200,000.
Yeah.
Right. And We'll keep you updated with what we know and what those changes are. Right now, it's the exact same rules as last year. And then the Boating and Waterways Planning Grant, again, for boating and waterways to put new docks, got to get their planning grant first before you can move to their construction. So we are applying for that planning grant. First workshop for all their grants is coming up in a week, maybe 2 weeks. We're signing up for the workshop, and they're going to announce all of their 2026 grant programs at that time. We'll talk to staff, and there'll be a planning grant announced at that moment. So we'll get that application in.
Notice in those last three items, it says a NASH requirement.
Yes.
Is that money currently available to us?
Yeah, so great question. So on the Coastal Conservancy Citizens Dock Construction Grant, we'll be applying for approximately $5 million. That is allowable as match for your current PIDP grants. And if we stack a PIDP, you got another one at the same time that that grant is open, it can be allowed for match. They give you for 100% match on a federal grant. On $11 million, we might still need a little bit more, but we go to Coastal Conservancy or one of the other state agencies to look for that. We want to just keep looking for match. Commissioner Schmidt, did that answer your question?
How about the $80,000 for the year? Pleasure boat grant.
That money, probably do not have that money at this point in time.
Where do you anticipate that money coming from?
But think about that. It's a nice problem to have once you get money in your hand. Let me take a look and see what match requirements are.
Thank you.
It's everything I had today. Any That's other questions?
I don't know, is the public comment? And do we have any questions from the public?
So, it's my understanding that if you've had a NEPA CEQA study done on an existing ramp, why would you have to have it done again? So, because you're talking about replacing, so I'm sure there were NEPA and CEQA studies done, so why would you have to do it again? That's all I want to know.
Yeah. Thank you to answer that.
Yeah, great question.
No, it's a great question. The rule is on the new construction, if you change and the change reflects more than 20% of your existing footprint. And that project would be more than 20%. It's going to do basically three things. It's going to give you more egress, ingress, and it's going to completely change the slope of that ramp, which probably means the position of the wall. Also, that riprap wall that blocks it also has to change out, as there's been previous designs that have been done that are upstairs, in the files, and looking at those, it looks like when they had those done in order to change that design. But those, we would use those as a base if you were to hire a new engineer to see what, if there was anything that wasn't caught in. So hopefully we'll be able to repurpose that package that was done, looks like about 8 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. Whenever it was discovered that on low tide, people are bumping on the bottom and that people are having an issue getting in and out of that entrance, is when those were done.
I'm a little perplexed here, hearing about all three components. Is there a document that you can share with us and the public regarding what you're discussing?
Yeah. You guys have it. I mean, it's an old project that was designed way back whenever it was.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was, it was basically to fix people from bottoming out on that land.
This is the first I'm hearing about it, so yeah, it'd be great if somehow...
Yeah, and it predates this board. Yeah. Okay. No problem.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I see Alicia. She had something though.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
So I'm just glad you guys saw my hand because you didn't see it in the beginning when you opened up the session. But anywho, so I had sent an email about this, the part under the Cal OES FEMA hazard mitigation grant, where it states that you can do the the engineering and environmental assessments, but then right after that, it says there could also be add-ons to existing planning elements that are occurring, and that it would have to be, or excuse me, it says with board direction, you could prepare additional RFP with board priority projects. And so I'm wondering, with this specific project, the South Harbor Habitat Restoration Site, if that restoration site would be an option to add oysters, not for aquaculture purposes, but for the habitat quality, because they improve water quality, reduce erosion, and then they also increase biodiversity. And so I was just wondering if we could do that, or if we could add oysters in some other aspect that falls in line with that, where it's saying you can add it to existing planning elements.
Ask. We will ask you.
I
And
didn't hear. I didn't hear you. Sorry, what?
he said, yeah, he would ask and look into it. And yeah, thank you for bringing that up. And
Okay,
what
I
was
can.
your question about reporting out a closed session? There was really nothing to report out, so.
I can forward this to you, Mike Barr. The one where just to remind you is that I'll just forward it to you. Is that cool? And maybe you could look into it or something. And then I think Annie said it was going to be more thoroughly discussed at the next meeting.
The priorities.
Oh, the parents.
That's great. And it reminded me of one more thing that we had an update. We just had an update on.
Oh, okay.
So
That's
for the
great.
Cal OES grant, the Cal OES awards, you need to have the hazard mitigation program document in place. Document was submitted for the third time to the state. Comments were gotten back again. They're incorporating those comments. We will see that document tonight or tomorrow for us to review over the weekend, Mike, and it can be submitted next week to Cal OES for their adoption. There we go.
Oh, there any other questions for Mike or any more? Any other comment coming? Hey, there you are.
I can't show up with my name's Kevin Hendricks. Can't show up at your meeting without saying something. I've been watching on the computer machine some of your meetings. So I noticed some really good progress last meeting on the seawall and citizens dock, getting the CEQA done, getting the permits applied for, getting the financing lined up. My encouragement today is keep your eye on the prize, because that rebuilding that dock is what is needed to keep fishing going here. If that dock falls down, if those hoists fall in the water, they're not helping anybody. So I wanted to suggest that you focus 100% of your attention, try not to get distracted on little stuff like lawsuits and other things. And I promise you that once it's built, I will advocate for a bronze plaque that has all your names on it. I know Gerhard's on board now.
I don't need to say, but thank you.
In all seriousness, this is your chance. These $50 million in grants are not transferable. Obviously, the harbor needs to exist to continue to get those grants. And I'm going to continue to ask everybody that.
I
Listen
started
to me.
7 years ago and Mike came on board, and it's the number one thing I thought was the most important for this harbor, because I don't think they'll fall in. They could though, but they could get condemned like our seawall. We can't even go out on our seawall. So I tell people one day there's going to be a gate across that dock and you're not going to be able to go out there because it's not safe to go out there, and then we're done. So I'm just so happy that it's lasted as long as it has, to where hopefully we can get it done and we can
Well,
keep
you got to
servicing
hear it.
our fishing
I mean, you
community.
got progress, you got momentum. I'm just saying, everybody that's within earshot of me, stay focused on getting this done. And even if there isn't a harbor district, if there's a dock and there's hoists, there's a fishing
There's
industry.
life. There's life
That's what I'm
going
saying.
on. I
I
agree.
can't promise the bronze plaque though, but I would
You
advocate
don't
for
have to.
it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Commissioner.
You bet, Mike. Thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow night. By the way, we have a mixer at Quarter Pipes tomorrow night.
Yeah, hopefully everybody will come. 5 o'clock.
Giving the same presentation of the grants and all the great things this harbor's got going on is amazing to me. It's really amazing. And on with that, we're gonna go to adopt a resolution 2026-02 authorizing insurance coverage in lieu of official bonds pursuant to Government Code Section 53226.3 and approved corresponding letter to Del Norte County Board of Supervisors. Special Counsel Michael Colantuono will be available to answer questions. And this has really been important to me because I've been a commissioner for 7 years and I'd like to validate that or make it valid that I've been a commissioner for 7 years. And the last meeting I was asked to leave because I'm not even a commissioner. So, but anyways, all the rhetoric is I'm over it. But I think this is really important. I really hope we can move forward. I really hope we can get help from the Board of Supervisors for doing this because I've talked to many commissioners that were on the board for 12 years and have questions on it. So I'm just thrilled that we can. This is a very important thing for me, and I think everybody, and as a commissioner and as future commissioners, it's very important. So, is there any public comment? Well, maybe I should have our special counsel. Right. Okay.
So yeah, we've got our special counsel on the line who drafted this resolution, as well as the accompanying letter to the Board of Supervisors. And so, Michael, if you would just give a succinct overview, that'd be great. Thank you.
Sure. My name is Michael Colantuono. I'm a local government lawyer. I have been since 1989. I've been a city attorney of about seven cities, general counsel of probably a dozen special districts, and I provide special counsel services to cities, counties, and special districts around the state. I'm a former president of the City Attorney's Department of the League of California Cities. I'm a former president of the State Bar. I'm a former president of the California Academy of Appellate Lawyers. I'm a member of the American Law Institute. The provision of the Harbors and Navigation Code that requires candidates for the Board of Commissioners to post a bond is ancient. It's probably 100 years old. Back when $5,000 would meaningfully solve a problem for a public agency. There are many statutes like it, but none of them are of practical significance in the world we live in. The reason that none of them are of practical significance is because $5,000 bonds doesn't buy you very much protection, and it's relatively expensive for what you get. And modern insurance programs provided by risk pools, which you belong to, or by regular insurance companies, commercial insurance companies, provide better coverage for less money. We call them crime fraud bonds because they're an insurance policy that protects the district against any harm it might experience by criminal or fraudulent activity by a member of its leadership team. And you've had a policy in place since at least 2012. Even though the district's records are imperfect, the fact that the insurance company considers your policy in good standing means you've been paying your premiums. And you can't make a payment as a district without the board passing judgment on that payment. You approve payments either by approving the check itself, approving a list of checks, or approving an annual audit, which amounts to an approval of all the checks. So you've been routinely approving the practice of providing insurance instead of individual bonds. If there was any defect in your paperwork, or any question about the adequacy of that performance, that's on the district. That could be a lawsuit against the district. It's not on your individual board members. Why do I say that? I say that because there's a First Amendment right to run for office that cannot be impaired by state laws. There's a First Amendment right to hold an office that you've been elected to that cannot be impaired by state laws that would make you personally responsible by some mistake the agency made or the agency's record keeper made. It's also fundamental to the way government operates that we need to know who the officials are at any given time. And so anybody who appears to be in office benefits from the apparent officeholder doctrine, which says anything you do is lawful, even if it later turns out there's some defect in your office holding. And there's only one way to get you out of office, was three. Your term can expire, the voters can recall you, or there can be a particular form of lawsuit called an action in quo warranto, which is Latin for by what right. There's only two people with standing to bring an action in quo warranto. Your board as a whole could bring an action to question the right of any of your office holders to hold office, or the attorney general can give somebody that right if they ask for it and demonstrate entitlement to it. So the suggestion you've heard that maybe you're not really an officer, maybe you should resign, are just wrong. Government couldn't function if every paperwork error that happened anywhere in an organization questioned the ability of the leadership to lead. We need to know who the leaders are, and they need to have the freedom to lead. If you don't like who your leaders are, that's what recall is for. That's what elections are for. But once people are elected, we need them to do the job we've hired them to do. So I think that's about all I have to offer, unless the board members have questions.
My one question is, again, I asked for a certificate of insurance to be produced. Any company I've worked for or had to show proof of insurance, we have to do it here as vessel owners. Is there no such thing to prove that this is still current and active through this insurance company?
I think you're using commercial insurance, and getting a certificate from your agent should not be a problem. It's just a form for them to fill out. Yeah, you're using commercial insurance, and this looks to be the declaration page, which is what we usually look to describe the level of coverage provided.
There was a question about the validity or the currency of it. We can see a check. We can see the declaration. The last couple of meetings, I've asked for a certificate of insurance.
And this one's dated a couple of days ago, a couple of weeks ago, January 26, 2026. You can generally get a fresh certificate from your insurance agent whenever you need it.
That isn't good enough, man. This here.
My understanding is the reason you provide a certificate of insurance is that the insurance company is validating that payment is current and accurate. Having a messy signature that's ineligible with a date on there, I don't know who signed that, but a certificate of insurance from the company validates that your insurance is current and in effect. That's why we provide them to the harbor office.
Well, I hope messy signatures aren't illegal, because my signature is pretty messy about 17 times a day.
So, the person you find out is our insurance broker, with River Levitt Insurance. So you have a problem with the signature that we're talking
I
about?
requested a certificate of insurance for a verification of insurance. It's what we provide. It's what you have in your car. You have a
Oh,
document that says
isn't that what that is?
that
So
is my
you're
issue with that is that document is dated 2009 and signed 2026. Is that acceptable?
Yes.
So that's Chris DeForest's signature.
I'm just asking for a certificate of assurance. It avoids all this. Oh, we need years of proving payment, blah, blah, blah. Say we've been in effect for all these years. It's a simple phone call that could have been done while we were doing the meeting. It eliminates a lot of questions.
No, interesting.
So you mentioned the past 14 commissioners being past 14 years. This is only evidencing that payment was made on the 25th. We don't have our QuickBooks or register saying it was validated. A certificate of insurance would say, yes, this check went through us because your insurance is valid today. That's it. It's a simple document. I don't know why it's so hard.
Sandy, do you want to speak to the history of payments?
Yes. Just got today all of the documents we were looking for. We had to piece together three different QuickBooks companies files. I have identified, and it's kind of rough because of some of the things that we found. We've been making duplicate payments the last 3 years. Some of it got recorded to auto insurance. Sometimes it was paid to Nationwide. legal LLC instead of Nationwide Mutual Insurance, but payments were returned. So we just put something together, and I was going to hand it out just or send it over to the county council. As ugly as this is, warts and all, we've proved from 2009 all the way until 2026, we haven't paid yet, but through 2025, we have all of the documentation here to prove payments have been made.
Or you could call the insurance company and they issue a certificate of insurance verifying that information. A one-page piece of paper that really takes 5 minutes.
Other comment?
Have you done Dan?
Well, I just wanted to mention that following Ann's lead earlier, I went ahead and obtained my own bond.
Yeah.
And I have it right here. Before it was the county clerk, the board of supervisors. Presumably, we'll take it up at the March 10th meeting. I believe hers has already been approved. So it's my thinking that I just got my W-2 form for the money I get as being a commissioner. And it came to $8,100 for the year that I was paid to sit up here and talk. So that bond cost me $150. That's small potatoes for each of us, the five of us here, just dig into our wallets, pay the $150 and be bonded and get this over with in a matter of 72 hours. I contacted them and I had my certified documents in the mail, Federal Express, ready to go. Avoids all of this confusion. That's my thought.
Hey, did you have anything to say?
I think we got enough proof that, we paid it, that all the commissioners until now from 2009 have been legally installed and made decisions. If you want to find a document that has the exact components that satisfy somebody else on our board, I guess we can go. We can continue to go with this. What I have to say about personal individual people doing their insurances, it is so inefficient, it is impossible to even compare. This is one instance where a government organization has been efficient by having it automatically taken care of. We don't require our commissioners to remember to sign up for the insurance. We don't require them to renew it every single year. We don't require them to pay and make sure that they have the money in their account. Everything is being done automatically. This is what our government should be running like, efficient. And this is one efficient way, one legal efficient way that does it this way. That we are coming up with all kinds of assumptions that we have been fraudulently keeping those commissioners here. It's crazy. It's such a nothing burger. I can't believe it that we're spending this much time on it.
And an attorney this told us it's perfectly legitimate with a lot of credentials. So. That's our comments. With that public comment, I'll take public comment, please.
A couple of things. When I was here at a previous meeting, I believe the clerk's office came online, and she wasn't asking for a certificate of insurance. She was asking for a historical record of payments by the insurance company, which is what you provided. I don't know why you have to provide both. Number two, I was just at a Board of Supervisors meeting where I believe, I may be mistaken, they passed an agenda item where we're using an insurance company in lieu of a performance bond for, I believe, a certain segment of their employees. It may have been more extensive than that. And thirdly, the harbor has much greater protection by having this insurance bond than it would have had they used the personal performance bonds that were originally the bone of contention. So I'm not understanding what the concern is out of Commissioner Niemer. I'm not understanding why this hasn't been taken care of a long time ago. It seems like a lot of quibbling over not a whole lot. So I would hope that this resolution be passed and be passed today and be done with it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead, man.
So on Monday, I filed a quo warranto complaint with the Attorney General's office. From what my understanding is, you had coverage which shows the premium rider on page 9 from 2009 to 2010 as the premium period. However, after March 18, 2010, that didn't apply. What you have is an insurance policy, not a bond. And the statutory or the statute 6056 requires that you have a bond. Okay? There's a difference between bond and insurance. And I might be absolutely incorrect. I'm sure counsel will correct me. So your crime policy, and this is a question that you have to ask, covers your employees. You guys are not employees. They cover like Ms. Moreno and Rademacher and the office staff. You guys are elected officials. That's why you're required to have a bond. Okay? And you're not indemnified if you break the law. Exclusion endorsements. Okay, so endorsements on page 7 and 13 modify who qualifies as employees. Didn't you read it, Rick? I'm sorry. I don't mean to be over
talking. There's five commissioners in there.
Yeah. So this is an insurance policy basically for USDA because it's named as the lost payee on page 16, not the public. This is a crime for slash dishonesty policy, not liability coverage policy. It pays for property loss to the district, not lawsuits against individuals. The district would rely on general liability policy. Policy, public entity liability policy, errors and omissions, possibly government code indemnification under code 825. So it does not pay judgments against them personally, automatically indemnifying them, or provide personal civil defense for you guys. So you know what? I don't know. We'll see what the Attorney General's office says, all right? They're the only ones who can clarify it. Thank you.
The question for you is, let's bring that document back up to 2009 and the signature at the bottom. Is that an auto pin or is that a real pin? You don't know. Okay, one's legal, one's not. All right. Now, remember that. DC remember that. So 2009, it's outdated. That's a quantity statement. It's outdated for the date that has to be done on a report. When I was in college, if they gave me a piece of paper that said 2003 and I'm in 2011, how am I going to justify if anybody coming in out of the piece of paper, they might have manipulated it, they might have changed it? If we don't have original document to go by, you're just signing something that was dated a long time ago by someone else. So I would agree with you that we get a copy or we get some kind of authentication of those dates, because old versus new, you gotta think we're in a new century, we're in a new system, we're in a new government, we're in a new everything. So old paperwork, it's opposite. Like remember what you're saying, when we got rid of a lot of stuff, like you're saying, we got rid of all this junky stuff that kind of went with it. But when that happened, it kind of changed over to, well, you're gonna need maybe a Quincy Bondi report, which will state the exactly what the money and what's used for in the report. And then you have what they call an assessment statement report. And all these little statements come together on the original document. So in other words, I agree with you. Yeah, I really do, because it's kind of shaky to read 2009 and here it is, you know, 2026. Thank God, you know what I mean? I got gray hair, you know. There must have been dozens of people that went by that had the same document. Authentication. That's what we need, basically, I would think. If not, you're just guessing at it. Thanks.
Hey, Valerie's home.
Thank you. Yeah, my question is actually for Mr. Colantuono. I am one of the Board of Supervisors that have asked for some verification on this. It's very similar to what the last gentleman just spoke about. When looking at that 2009 document, and that's currently being signed by Mr. Rademacher with the title CEO Harbor Master, he wasn't the CEO Harbor Master in 2009. So that's kind of my concern, is how is that proving? I'm fine with them doing a master insurance, but my concern is how is that a legitimate document, and how can we prove that that is current? How do we, I'm not seeing it, but in your expertise, you're reporting that it is legitimate, everything's is fine. Did you get a chance to see the current insurance? Did you get a chance to see that there's payments that have been made over the course of since the 2009 policy was taken out?
I was not hired as an auditor. I was hired as a lawyer, but I did review the documents that I presented to the Harbor District Board, and those documents are sufficient to persuade me that you have a policy, that it is current, and that you've paid your premiums for years. Look about the position of the insurance industry. You're dealing with nationwide. They have millions of policies around America, and every one of those policies expires every year, and they may have to provide a certificate of authenticity on any one of them at any time. So how do they do that? They have a standard form which they give all of their agents, and they allow their agents to issue them. So I'm a local government lawyer. I represent dozens of local governments around California. All of them want proof of my errors and omissions and liability insurance. The insurance companies authorize my office manager to issue those certificates because they don't want to bear the expense to issue them, and there's too many people asking them for them. But the fact that there is a certificate and they've allowed my office manager to issue it is enough to bind them to the policy if the question ever comes to it. So you're looking for a degree of authentication that we do not bring to ordinary insurance transactions in this country. There's very few documents that require multiple signatures and a seal and a visit to the recorder's office, and insurance policies aren't one of them.
Sure. My question is, it's a 2009 dated document that the current harbor master signed. Isn't that somewhat?
I'm telling you, my office manager issues these things.
I know. So he would sign something from 2009 and 2026. That's my question.
It often the insurance companies don't update them. But if you want a current certificate, ask your agent for what they can provide.
Perfect.
Now, what I'll tell you, Supervisor, and I mean this respectfully, is this is sort of not your problem. I know your constituency is showing up at your board meeting and you have to respond to them, and I respect your desire to be responsive to the people who elected you. But we also have to consider the people who elected these five board members. If there was an effort to oust them, you're not just ousting a board member, you're undoing the vote of thousands of people who voted for them.
Yeah,
it's
but
their rights that we're concerned about.
Certainly, but according to the code, we're not ousting anybody. These are just vacant by operation of law. So we're
these
nobody.
Codes, the code you're citing, ma'am, does not apply.
Okay.
Once
We're
this
not going to
board,
argue
not
with.
your board, once this board chooses a blanket insurance policy, the statute which mentions the Board of Supervisors is not applicable. So the good news is it isn't your problem. Bad news is you don't have control over it, but maybe that's a good thing.
Wow.
I just want to clarify something too about me signing the document. I was asked by Chris Dufour, our insurance broker, to sign that. I was following his instructions. So presumably he knows what he's talking about with regard to insurance. But
yeah, it's comparable to them asking my office manager to issue them. It's a way of exporting their paperwork. Let you do it.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Valerie, for clearing that up. Okay.
We're still in public comments.
Yes, we are.
You know, Mr. Chairman, I've seen the better part, two meetings on this subject with more legal input than you could get from almost next step is the Supreme Court. It's ridiculous. Why are we spending, why are two members of your board so adamant as to say, all you need to do is spend $100 more. Well, why don't I just take a $100 bill and go burn it in the parking lot now? Because you don't need it. From what I'm understanding from legal counsel, the moment you take your oath, you're covered. It's nothing additional. Why are we doing this? Why are we spending all this time when you should be finding out how we can get another grant?
Yeah.
And put the priorities in order. And this one is out of order. This gentleman who spoke here, is he now the fifth legal attorney? There's four others who agreed with him. Now you've got five. And you now have a supervisor stepping out of her lane to find out if you guys are, if Mr. Rademacher is qualified to sign this. Yes, he is. And you have coverage. So get on with this. Pass this resolution and move on to really more exigent business. Thank you.
Yep.
I'd like to clarify. So I know the public or some members of the public are liking to point fingers, but the reporter's office actually reached out and pointed out that we had not reported our bonds. This was not a happenstance situation. I requested the documents and wasn't provided all of them. I was provided the 2009 document, not the 2012 document, which was provided months later. So there's a lot of issue and meetings and I can't get it filed. It was much easier just to get it done than spend thousands of dollars on attorney's fees. Just go get the bond done. Also, in my opinion, 6056, by getting the bond before you take office, that little mean nothing to you actually does a criminal check, a little background check and credit check. So I do like that component of it, I'll be honest. Maybe that is why there's all this pushback, because at this point, without a 2012 resolution, this doesn't go back retrospectively, it's prospectively once it's approved. So this is months and months of fighting over something that could have just been solved soon.
So Michael, could you address the issue of whether or not the 2012 resolution has any bearing on this legitimacy issue?
Once the district chose the modern practice of using an insurance policy rather than individual bonds, the board members were without obligation to post a bond. Nobody told you about it. Nobody asked you for it. When you showed up with one, the recorder was probably a little puzzled by it because they do not see them. So there isn't a duty on the individual board members to provide this bond. There just isn't, because the law says there isn't, because it's just not worth it. You spend $150, the district gets $5,000 worth of protection, which just isn't much. But if the district buys a policy that covers all five of you and the harbor master, that's part of a broad program of insurance, you spend a lot less and you get meaningful insurance. You get something like, I don't know what your policy limit is, but it's commonly a quarter of a million or more. So there just isn't a duty to do this. You can, and I'm not questioning anybody's desire to try to shut down a political debate in whatever way they think is constructive. But my legal opinion is it's unnecessary.
Thank you.
When I started in June, this was an issue. And I told everybody, Every time I've seen it done, it was a master bond just like this. We should just go with this. July and August, Annie brought it to our attention that we should have this harbor navigations code. I went down to Alyssa and talked to Alyssa. Alyssa informed me that she hadn't seen anything in her files for 20 years. She couldn't find anything. Come to find out now, the reason why she doesn't have anything is because she shouldn't have, because we haven't been using that method. We've been using a master bond method. I believe we don't reinvent the wheel. There should have been a trust factor. If this is the way we did it, and you bring somebody like me in, who usually runs the office and handles these kind of documents on a regular basis, and I tell you, this is what we should be doing, it should have been left there. Instead, we've gone on, and as you said, we spent thousands and thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours, and we're not getting things done because we're still talking about this. Somebody last week said, your stress is showing at the meeting. It is not stress that I'm showing. It's righteous anger that you couldn't accept that this is a minor thing. Alyssa asked me on three occasions to get legal counsel to make sure we were doing it right. We've done it now on five times, and we're still having people question this. This should never have been questioned. We never should have spent this money.
Chairman, well, before Sandy sits down, I have a comment. Sandy, you made a comment earlier about some of the checks went to Nationwide LLC and some went to Nationwide Surety Company or something like that. And they went to the wrong place, and that caused delays. You recall?
It not caused delays. We were always covered, which would be another point I would make from my experience. You only get one policy. It starts in 2009. That's when you've got it. It doesn't ever change. It is, as long as you're paying a bill now, the insurance company wouldn't issue you a bill for a 2009 policy if you hadn't maintained it all along. So yes, some payments got made to the wrong place. We were under the impression that they got switched over, but something must have happened because I can show payments for all of that. And they're giving us a 2009, and they wouldn't do that unless it was paid all the time. You can make those assumptions safely.
Was Nationwide LLC in the wrong place to send it? Reason I asked
Nationwide
you.
Legal LLC is a different company that we pay insurance to. So there, we started, it was called Allied, and then it became Nationwide. And somehow in there in 23, 24, and 25, Nationwide Legal got involved. And therefore, there were duplicate payments being made. And we do have payments to Nationwide Legal is what they say on here, LLC.
That's right.
Generally speaking, we pay the name that appears on the bill they send us, and that name can change from time to time as the insurance company changes its corporate form for reasons of its business strategy. But we generally pay the name that shows up on the bill, just as an ordinary person would.
Yeah. And to go further, in September of 25, our insurance company, our insurance agent, and our legal counsel all confirmed that this was in good standing. And that information was not given to the Board of Supervisors in October when they approved Annie's bond. I don't know why, but in public session in September, that information was made available.
Okay, with that, I'm going to make the motion to adopt Resolution 2026-02, authorizing insurance coverage in lieu of the official bonds pursuant of the Government Code Section 53226.3 and approve corresponding letter to the Del Norte Board of Supervisors. Special Counsel Michael Colantuono will be available to Special Counsel.
I second the first part.
I second it. I think we've had enough discussion. We're going to take a vote.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Niemer?
Yes.
Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
Chair Shepherd?
Aye.
Woohoo!
Moving on.
Okay, I'll leave you to the rest of your agenda. Have a good meeting.
Thank you very much for your time and patience.
No worries. Good luck.
Yeah, okay, thank you. We need it. Consider modification of crab pot storage space rental agreement and that adjutant. Been up pretty late last night. So appeal of fees billed to Richard Niemer, FE resolution. I believe this has to do with the crab pot storage. I wrote the wrote it up, I don't 7, 8 years ago on leasing the spots in the parking lot for the staging and the And so we allowed it to be free. And well, a lot of people have gear sheds and they pay a lot of money for these gear sheds to keep them going. But we went ahead and allowed store their crab pots in our parking lot to stage them to go to start the fishing season. But we do rent them normally for $150 a month. But we were trying to help the fishermen out, and so we waive the fee. But as soon as the crab season opens up, by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife opens the season and the pots get deployed, then you have a certain period of time. I made it by the end of the month so that we could start charging after that month that it came up. And but you need to tell the desk or the maintenance that you're clear of that spot and they check it off, and then you're not subject to any fees from that part, that spot. And I wrote the bill, I wrote the thing, and within 2 years I forgot to check my spot off, and I paid for two spots for a month, and because somebody parked their trailer there. But anyways, I wrote it, so I paid it. And anyways, I guess there's some Ann wanted to make some modification to that to a 2 week. That's what this is all about.
So I assume I'm stepping here as a member of the public and tenant. Well, my husband's the tenant. I'll speak for him today. He's not able to be here. So I asked this invoice, which also isn't part of this, is actually dated for March crab pot storage. I emailed and said to delete the invoice because I won't need it. Now, I didn't tell the office that we had vacated the spot, but also now that I have, the invoice for March should be deleted. It's not March yet. The other issue is with the staff report and not the staff report, with the actual rental agreement. So when it came out, it was fantastic. It fit the time. But this year, CDFW threw in a nice wrench. And that was that there were two openers for our district. So the first opener got to go early in the month. And the second opener happened, the actual opener was announced for January 30th, and then there was a strike. So it didn't even start till February. So the people that went on the second opener should have free storage for February. And the guys that went on the first for January. And all I'm asking for is that we clarify in this form to set a date. So I would hope that the staff and Harbor Master would be aware that there were two openers up here this year and what those openers were, and then set it 14 days out or something, rather than if we go on an opener the 30th and you have 3 days to set your gear. You're now being charged for the month based on the way the policy is written. I'm just asking for some clarity on the policy.
Well,
That
the
was something.
clarity, that is a complicated issue. If you were to set the gear on the first or second of a month, then you would definitely have till the end of the month to clear the spot, which I think you had the month of February to do that. I'm clear that I'm fine. I'm okay with all that. I thought I was more concerned about your changing of the policy, and you want to do it on a 2 week. On the 15th, I set it for the end of the month because of the fact that then the starting the new month, you could actually rent the space. If the pots are there till the 1st or the 15th or the 20th or whatever, you can't rent that space till the next month. So that's why I put it at the end of the month.
I understand your rationale, and if CDFW opened the season December 15th every year, that would be fantastic.
No, no, yeah.
But that's not the case. When they opened it January 30th, and there's a weather delay that throws it into February, whereas that means both openers. Oh,
No, I agree. I think if the pots had to be staged there past February 1st, then you have the space for the entire month.
and I was denied removing the invoice, which is for March, which
Yes.
Well,
I believe that invoice is for February.
It says March crab pot storage on it. I brought it.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of, I mean, I was aware of the difficulty. I wasn't aware of the dates, but so.
But again, the guys who set second half didn't set till February, so they shouldn't be billed for this. And yet, I was
they should have got there's they should have been able to keep the space till the end of February. I'm fine with that. I said I'm fine with that.
That's what
I'm
I mean.
Okay.
It was part of the agenda.
Yeah. I'm just saying, do you want to change it is what I'm asking.
I'm just asking for some clarity. So if this happens again, and there's an opener that straddles the first, or if the opener's on the 30th, this is saying the first, we're getting charged.
Oh, and you get 3 days to set the pots.
That doesn't say any of that. That's the
whatever you want to do.
Can we just get some clarity in the form? That's what I was asking for.
Clarity
and also,
as far as what? You got till the end of the month.
Voice away. I'm not there.
You, even if you, if the openers until the 1st of February, then you've got till the end of the month. I've seen it when it didn't open until the 26th, and you only had 4 days to declare your storage unit being closed. But if you want to change it, that's fine. I've been fine for 8 years, 1st of the month, so whatever you want to do.
Well, if CDFW is going to continue splitting it, you know, if you get the guys that
splitting
got
doesn't matter. It's when the pots get deployed out of the parking lot.
Well, that's not
from
clear.
From the end of that month, you have to declare.
So openers January 27th. You get 3 days. So January 31st, you better be out, or February 1st, you get charged.
You
but
know,
the guys who got on the first opener, they would have been okay.
I would think that, you know, yeah.
I'm sure it's a simple fix.
Okay.
Not
well,
through half the guys.
I'm going to change it then, is what I'm saying.
That's what I asked you to do. And then you brought it on the agenda rather than just fixing it.
We'll still get clarification on that, Annie, if you're here.
Yes, please.
About whether it's February or March, we're working on that.
Oh, the second half didn't go to February.
March on there, but we may be wrong in what it says on it.
Well, either way, we didn't go fishing till February, so we shouldn't have been invoiced.
Got it.
Chairman, is there an action that's being taken on that agenda item?
I don't think so. I'm not going to take one. If Anne would like to change it or clarify it, she can do that. It doesn't take us to vote on it. Just change it if that's what you
is
want
there
to
public
do.
Comment on this?
Okay.
Thanks.
There's always public
comment. Question emergency.
Okay, Gerard has a personal emergency and needs to leave.
The public comment is simply, and since Ms. Niemer, Commissioner Niemer brought this up, is she not conflicted and she should be recusing herself? Is this a direct?
Well, I think she was.
All right, sorry is one thing, but if she's sitting there on the board complaining about a problem which she has to vote on, I would say there is that's. That would be a cause for recusal.
That's what I'm saying. We're not voting on this or anything. We're just going to go ahead and. I think everything is fine. I think the billing date was wrong for her, and they're going to clear that up. And then as far as the opening and all that.
Rick, this is just another delay.
Oh, boy.
Well, because it's on the agenda, and there's clarity here. You sat there and argued back and forth for it, and it's already understood. So why is all this talk? I want to get onto the meat of the agenda where there's really important things. This is one of them. And it's on the agenda, so therefore we have an opinion on this.
Okay. Going to get to the meat of our meeting and approve the fee waiver for Girl Scouts to sell cookies at the entrance to the inner boat space. The meat of the moon.
Mark, it's not.
I wonder how long we're going to take on this one.
The instant arena, not much.
I moved
it. Yeah, that's sorry. It was a billing. It was wrongly billed.
The Girl Scouts.
Oh, you make a motion.
Why should the Girl Scout be?
And I second that motion.
They bring yeah. One box of cookies. That's all.
Oh, and we have. Oh. We can't do that.
I'll buy them.
Well,
I'll buy them.
Doc will buy them. Jack will buy them. Yeah, there you go. I'm going to buy a box.
Yeah.
Anyways, that.
That's That's under review. That whole subject is under review, right? We're not making any decisions
right.
on that.
That's all under review. Let's take a vote on those girls.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
Chair Shepard?
Yep. Then all for that one.
Yeah.
Okay, communication reports, directions to staff, Harbor Commissioners. Dan, do you have anything to report?
Well, comment. I guess under communication, it can be broadly interpreted, so I have some comments. Okay, I've met with people recently, and I'm getting increasingly concerned about the executive management ability to handle the upcoming Citizen Dock seawall construction project. I'm learning that is an extremely complex project involving lots of high-level, specifically trained engineers and accountants, manager, operation. So I think it's imperative that as a harbor district, we begin the process of recruiting the appropriate people to serve in those necessary positions. We don't want to be in a situation where a major issue presents itself and our harbor master is in Los Angeles or some other place. We can't afford that. We need to have somebody on site ready to make decisions and prevent perhaps millions of dollars of damage or because we're going to have to close the harbor from time to time to allow the boats to get out and to come back in while we're tearing out part of the dock. That's all got to be coordinated. Who's going to do that? We need somebody. I guess we have Mike Barr on board to handle the grant administration, so that's covered. But we have to have a project manager and let's say a logistics officer to handle the incoming and outgoing. You know, we've got millions of dollars worth of material coming in and waste being hauled out. We don't want to disrupt the harbor during those periods. And so I think that we need to bring on the talent. We need to identify what that talent is needed and then bring on that talent ahead of time. And these grants or these construction projects are going to begin within the next few months. And we can't afford to wait. So that's my comment on that pitch, and that's subject.
How are you finding out about the earth?
I'm not sure about my voice stuff.
I only got
that's it for now.
Commissioner Niemer.
Thank you, Commissioner Schmidt, for bringing that up. I know Mr. Barr brought that up at a couple meetings, and I think it's a fantastic time to reiterate that we need to look at hiring a contractor for that. I know he's brought up that we need one. And so maybe now that we have the controller, we can move forward with that.
This over in the next spot, you're 4344. You're facing three of them.
Oh, I was dealing, Dan mentioned the W-2s and 1099s. I dealt with that. There was miscategorization and it still is not correct. So I hope that will be corrected. I'm also requesting that the ordinances be finalized. The board has worked starting last April to get those ordinances done. I believe Commissioner Schmidt offered to publish it for free in the paper and it hasn't happened yet. I'd like to see that done. A member of the public brought awareness that Ms. Moreno was at the supervisors meeting yesterday. So I watched that video clip. I'd like to point out that several times our other independent contractor, our attorney, has pointed out that he cannot perform duties without board authorization. So when you go to board supervisors meetings, please be aware you're in your individual capacity unless the board authorizes you to be there. And then I've received complaints about the gates not working again from crabbers that are coming and going and all the activity, wondering when the gates are going to be repaired. And when the light's going to be fixed for safety with everyone coming and going.
Did you put lights and plural?
Well, there's the
That one on the
light.
far end.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. I took them, went and looked at it, and it fell down, and the repair is costly, and it's so. I don't know what that answer doesn't answer a question, but I did look into that, and it's not. Is that it? I don't have anything to comment. So, CEO remark. Our best people.
So, let me just start by saying I agree with the suggestion, Commissioner Schmidt and Niemer. We do have money in the grant that would, pay for an additional staff person to help, and that's something that's commonly done. I mean, that Humboldt Bay has done that with their grant projects or large scale projects. Typically, it's someone who's an engineer who can supervise, much like after the 2011 tsunami, we hired an engineering firm to supervise the contractors. So I think I'm sure we'll bring something back to the board, in the near future where we try and get that position filled. So I've been working mostly on our debt restructuring with Kalmini Advisors that we hired. Feeling really optimistic about that, giving us some breathing room to address our cash flow issues that we're going to need to have dealt with for the grant that we're going to be administering with MARAD, as well as some of our long-term debt issues. And also working with Cal OES on the Disaster Assistance Act from the 2025 tsunami. And then the MARAD grant implementation, as everyone can see, is going into full swing here. RV park negotiations, we've got the surveyor getting started to do a complete survey of the harbor. That'd be really helpful as we lease out these parcels to have that information. And then we're working really closely with Sandy on some QuickBooks restructuring. It's been really time consuming, but I think we're making some progress. So Sandy probably will have more to say about that. And that's my report.
Yeah. Oh, I guess you're probably up next, Sandy, with the communications report up there on Grant Hill.
This whole section looks very much like it did at the meeting before. And I said at that time that I didn't have all the documents that I needed and that I would get them out to you before the next meeting. And I've done it again. We had a bunch of bond issues to deal with, and our QuickBooks created some issues for us last week. That have tied us up. We feel like something positive happened today. We think it's working. We're going to have to wait until next week's payroll to see what happens. There will be discussions. So the grant billing I don't have, the audit billing I don't have, the budget review I don't have, but I'm saying the same thing today that I said at the last meeting. I'll get into that as soon as it's done. I'll send it to you. I won't be waiting for a meeting. As soon as it's done, you guys will see it. So you'll see that finished stuff. And we certainly need that to be able to get further along with Cal Muni and the USDA loan documents. All of that is kind of combined together. Then I get down to the merchant services, which really is what has to do with the QuickBooks stuff. It seems that in QuickBooks, when Thomas set up the QuickBooks, he became owner of the QuickBooks of our merchant account, our pay any and our whole account. So when we set up payroll, it worked fine for a couple of for the first month. And then it didn't when the merchant stuff started happening. So we got Thomas to work with us last week. We found out on Tuesday that, with a bunch of phone calls again on Tuesday, we have it up and working. But the question comes, the way QuickBooks works, who it has to be attached to a social security number and a birth date. Well, what if you have turnover?
Well,
Right?
also the we had that happen before with another employee here when we with Tracy.
Oh, so
And
you are aware of
they
this.
yeah, well they yeah, then they can lock it up to where you don't even know what they're doing in there.
I've never seen that before. And I kind of knew about this 5, 6 months ago and made phone calls. And I couldn't believe that they would say that, I mean, your company,
Yeah.
it should be assigned to a company, but they have it locked into a person's social
And one
security
person
number.
has sole control over
Yes.
that.
So the question is, do other merchants have that? If we go to US Bank, our banker, are they going to have that? So that's why I've brought the merchant item up here to let you know. Coming at the next meeting, we'll probably be talking about merchants, because we have the option of setting up a brand new QuickBooks, a brand new QuickBooks payroll, a brand new QuickBooks merchant. We can set that all up new and take somebody's social security number or birthday. Is that what we want to do, or do we want to find a different merchant option? Right now, how does that affect us, so everybody knows? If you are in the marina, we have a merchant service for the marina. If you are in the RV, we have a merchant service for the RV. Anybody else, if you get an invoice and we send it out to you, we say you can pay that invoice. That would be the QuickBooks payment. So at this point, we're only accepting checks. We're not accepting credit cards because we don't have a way to pay credit cards at this time, at least for the next week or two until the next meeting, until we make some kind of decision on how we're going to address the merchant issue, or are we going to stay with QuickBooks, or aren't we? As I said, it took quite a bit of last week and all day Tuesday to try and figure out what we're going to do with this. And I haven't been able to get that far along to give you a good staff report on making a decision, but that will be coming up at the next meeting. Regarding CEPA requests, we did get some CEPA requests in last week, and those still need to be filled. But as far as I'm concerned, everything else has been addressed. I'm going to say that.
Hey, best part of the meeting, the adjourn.
I have a couple of comments on
Oh,
QuickBooks.
questions on the report, yeah.
So our bylaws indicate that we should have a finance standing committee. That was never changed with the chair. I believe we should still have a finance standing committee, especially considering the financial situation we're going through. I know receiving a quick report from somebody up here is supposed to be sufficient, but I don't believe it is going through this. We have Cal Muni. Again, shouldn't an ad hoc committee be reporting to us regarding these situations?
We've always had one of those. Great that you brought that up, because that's been a very important part of our board. It's one I don't care to be on, but we should pick one, and maybe we need other board members here to do that. But I definitely think we should have that committee reinstated. And we don't have one now.
Well, currently it would be the two absent commissioners, but they haven't held any meetings since.
See, the other, yeah, before it was, yeah, anyways, Wes White was really good on it, and he gave reports.
Wasn't there something on your bylaws where you took away the standing committees at the end based on legal counsel said you can't have those? We
but
talked
those
about
might
the
be
other one because
standing.
they're two kinds of committees and
I'm
one.
not sure, but that we can have ad hoc committees, and that was an ad hoc committee, so we need to have that ad hoc committee
Not a
to meet
report.
with you to oversee you, or at
Yeah.
least, you know,
A
have a
report to.
right, have a report to it. I didn't realize that we didn't have, well, we do have one, but we need a more active, let's say, a very much more active
It
Certainly,
is
just
just
yet.
a public comments. This is
We're gonna have
Anthony
public comment. You bet. Go
Newport.
ahead, Brad.
First of all, Ms. Niemer, San Marino has every constitutional right to go to anybody she wishes to render an opinion. Not you or anyone else can prevent that. What these reports are coming down to are really bitch fests. Oh, you didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. I'm not interested. That's private between you guys. Come to the office and get it straightened out. Why does the public have to endure this nonsense? I don't know. But you haven't done this and you haven't done that. Is that your report for the week? That's what you've done, is you've gone into the and complained to the people here. This is what you need to do. You haven't done this, you haven't done that. And that's what I did for the week.
I come
Really?
to
Did you do anything else? Did you do anything productive? No. And that's why these meetings, the presentation of these reports have ceased to function. All they become are bitch fests, which take up more time and solve nothing. So take it up privately, not in front of a meeting.
Ms. Moreno lied. CEPA requests that I've had since May 14th, 2025, through the end of the year, I have never received. And her trying to approach me at the courthouse and give me some kind of a flash drive and call it CEPA, I don't know what's on that flash drive. the normal way to do CEPA requests, when I submit my request, they come back electronically, not on a flash drive where you can install viruses. And knowing Mr. Rademacher, I have no doubt that's something that he would do. Don't let certain public members intimidate you about your questions. It means you're hitting the mark and it pisses people off. So that's too bad for him. Ms. Moreno is certainly showing the same traits as she did when she worked for Big Rock District, Water District. She had every excuse there was to come up with why she didn't get anything done. So, you know, these are two peas in the pod. They work very well together because they don't get anything done. Thank you.
As you probably know, I go to a fair amount of public meetings in the county over the course of each month. And to my knowledge, while I would sincerely hope that public comment would become a part of communications reports and directions for staff, various boards allow their members to present to the public what they've done over the course of the interval between meetings. There's no public comment involved. They say things that should necessitate the public to speak, because very often what I say at this podium, not everybody's going to agree with. When I sit in a chair and I listen to the staff and the various members of the board say things that I don't agree with, I have no recourse, but you members of the board can pop off anytime you so desire during the course of the meeting without recognition from the chair. That is not proper format in a board meeting. You must be addressed by the chair to be able to speak before you speak. So the fact that you are allowing public comment during these various reports is a novelty in this community. It doesn't happen anyplace else.
I was asking for more questions about the reports.
And then that's not what's happening.
I know it's not happening, but in the past with an audit report or a financial report, people had questions. Whatever that fest was.
Yeah, that's why they don't allow public comment. If you have questions, you're supposed to approach the board members after the meeting.
Yep, I agree. Yep.
So what you're doing here is completely out of character with public meetings, completely out of character with public meetings. And I don't know why you allow it.
Quite well taken.
Can I speak about the flag?
Why don't you come meet us after the meeting? Do you have a report that new ones are coming out? I should tell.
Well, when I went to a couple supervisor meetings too, we want to know who's going to pay for it. We want to know who, if we present it to the harbor and who else, put some names on it that we got it or you guys got it or what.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
I'll speak to you.
Yep. Yeah, let's talk about it.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks, Chuck. I thought, okay, go ahead.
I see Sandy getting ready to pounce.
Oh, I'm waiting for it to be over.
Yeah.
Me too.
I am too.
Yeah.
So you're done?
I'm getting concerned about our debt. Mm-hmm. And are we really
on top of here now? Can we discuss this
direction
now?
Yeah, how's that sound?
Did you ask for permission to speak?
From you.
Do it after the meeting.
I do exactly
what I do. Can we do this after the meeting? I think we can do it after the meeting. I'm going to adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much for coming.